just realized I'm the only one using the book. I better mark that. Well, if you were very encouraged like I was from the gospel sermon this morning and you came to hear another one, I am so very sorry. We're going to learn some lessons from Judas tonight. I hope. I have. I hope you will. I have to have my eyes on. Judas, as was mentioned, is one of the 12, and we're going to look at that in just a moment. But before we get started, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. The elders asked me to, and I tried every way in the world to discourage them, and they wouldn't hear of it. They said, "Well, we asked you to do it before, and you skipped out on us, so we're asking you again," and they asked me to do it. I'll try and be brief, but before we begin, let's go to God in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we love you so much, and thank you, Father, for the opportunity to gather together and to look at your word again. And we pray that as we look at it, we will try and understand more of how to be your servants. And we pray, dear Father, that you'll be with the speaker of the hour and give him a ready recollection, because he needs it, of the things he's prepared to say. And dear Father, these are your people, and I pray that the things that I say will be beneficial, and that if I make any egregious errors, that before this night is even over, somebody will let me know and we'll make correction. Thank you, Father, for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Judas was a fairly common name, but I dare say any of you would name your child Judas if you were having one, would you? Because he was the betrayer of the Christ, the Son of God. Judas is a Greek form of the Hebrew name Judah. Didn't know if you knew that. And it was a fairly common name. If you look in the New Testament, you find five other people that were named Judas that are listed there. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55 and Mark 6 and verse 3, Judas was the name of one of the four brothers of Jesus. If they're named in genealogical order, he would have been the youngest of Jesus' brothers. In Luke chapter 6 and Acts chapter 1 and Jude verse 1, we find that another of the 12 apostles is listed as being called Judas. The reading we had today from Matthew actually said his name was Thaddeus. Matthew and Mark call him Thaddeus, but Luke calls him Judas, the son of James, in Luke chapter 6, and then in Acts chapter 13, or Acts chapter 1, verse 13, he's listed there also, and also listed that Jude is probably Judas in Jude 1 and verse 1. Of course, there's only one chapter. There was a Judas of Galilee in Acts chapter 5, verses 34 through 37. Judas of Galilee was one that Gamaliel talked about. If you remember, Gamaliel spoke to them and was telling them that they could just ignore those that were preaching the gospel, because if it wasn't really of God, then it would come to nothing. And he listed several that were usurpers during that time that had uprisings, and there was a Judas of Galilee listed there who had followers who perished. There was a Judas who owned the house where Saul of Tarsus, after he saw Jesus and went into Damascus and was waiting to find out what to do, the name of the owner of the house, his name was Judas. And then one of the ones to go with Paul and Silas to Antioch to carry the message that had been formulated in Acts chapter 15, that the Gentiles did not have to become proselytes, become Jews, to become Christians in Acts 15, when the council came together and the elders and the apostles came together to discuss that. One of the men that went with Paul and Silas, his name was Judas. But we want to talk tonight about Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, Judas Iscariot. His name may indicate where he and his father are from. Iscariot, possibly from the region of, and we're not sure exactly where that is, but it probably was something like that, because last names necessarily weren't common. He was chosen to be one of the 12. Let's look at some of the attributes of Judas Iscariot, as was read for us. But he was chosen to be one of the 12, and Jesus knew who he was and even what he would become He knew what was in the heart of every man. If you look at John chapter 2 and verse 25, it says, because he did not, that he wasn't making himself, verse 24 says he wasn't making himself shown to other men during that time, because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. So John tells us he knew the hearts of people, knew what was inside of man. And because Jesus chose him after a night of prayer. If you look at Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16, it says, it was at that time when he went off to the mountain to pray, he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when the day came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles. And then it's listed there in verses 14 and 15 who they were. In verse 16, Judas the son of James and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. He was given the task, as was read in our reading in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. He was given the task to preach and given special capabilities to cast out demons as he would go about. He and all the 12 were given that special commission, and they could heal all manner of sickness and diseases as they were out and about preaching. Can you imagine Judas having that capability, but yet he's one of the 12, and it doesn't indicate that he didn't have that ability, so Jesus gave that ability to him. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 17, Peter had this to say, for he was counted among us and received his share in this ministry. But of course he was dead by that time, and another had to be picked. So he was counted as one of them. And they didn't know any different until he had betrayed Jesus, even though Jesus knew it. His name is not mentioned as much as Peter, James, and John, but if you look at the many verses that do talk about Jesus, his name is probably mentioned fourth. So that's significant. Matthew mentions him in six verses and declares him as the one who betrayed him. Mark mentions him in four verses and says he's the one who betrayed him. Luke calls him who became a traitor in four, and there are four verses. And John nine verses spoke about Judas. I don't think John was too happy about Judas. If you remember, Judas was the one pointed out by Jesus at the final supper as being the one that would betray him. And John says who was intending to betray him, who was betraying him, and he mentions, every time he mentions his name almost, he says he's the one who betrayed him. He remained a follower of Jesus in John chapter 6. If you remember in John chapter 6, Jesus had fed, I think that was the 5,000, if I have that correct, and he goes to another place and they follow him and they want to be fed again, and he refuses to feed them, but he talks to them about being fed with his flesh, and he says you have to partake of the flesh and the blood or you can't be part of him. And they didn't understand that. They wouldn't at that time, but they didn't trust him enough to follow him. All they wanted was food, and so they left. So many, many disciples left him, but the 12 did not leave him, and Judas was among those who did not leave him. It's interesting what Jesus has to say there in John chapter 6, verses 68 through 71. It says, Simon Peter answered him, because Jesus said, you know, are you also going to leave? And Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Of course, Judas is among them as he's saying that. Peter is saying that. Well, Jesus answered and said, did I not myself choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. And now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. But those the disciples didn't necessarily know what he was talking about. So Jesus acknowledged there that he handpicked him. You know, after praying all night in the verse that I read, and here he was hanging on after all, many, many other disciples had left. These will all come back as we talk about what Judas might have to teach us. Judas was their treasurer in John chapter 12, and verses 4 through 6. It says, Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box. He used to pilfer what was put into it. So we see something about him there. He was their treasurer and he was their resident thief. And he had little to care about the poor, obviously, because that wasn't really what his concern was. In John chapter 13, verses 27 through 29, after the morsel, Satan entered him. Therefore, Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Let's see if I'm in the right place here. Yeah. And now, no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this, for some were supposing because Judas had the money box that Jesus was saying to him, buy the things that we have need for the feast, or else that he should give something to the poor. So again, just another verse telling us that that Judas was their treasurer. Also in John 13, verses 1 through 8, the first part of that chapter, says, 1 through 18, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, that's his disciples, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from the supper and laid aside his garments, taking a towel, and he girded himself, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter, and it discusses how he had a discussion with Peter because he didn't want to let the Lord wash his feet, but he insisted, the Lord insisted. And then in verse 11 it says, for he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, not all of you are clean. He had mentioned that when he was discussing it with Peter. The Lord washed the feet of all the apostles, but he washed the feet of the one that would betray him. Judas was the one who left the group early to finalize the deal with the chief priests and scribes to betray Jesus. And therefore he missed all the great words that the Lord had to say, full of encouragement and warning and support and commandments for life, and the prayer on their behalf in John chapters 13 through 17. We're certainly not going to read all of that. But Judas left early. And Jesus said to him in John 13:27, after the morsel, and they were eating there in that supper, Satan entered into him, and therefore Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. He was called the son of perdition in John chapter 17 in the Lord's Prayer. How would you like it if the Lord was leading a prayer of the apostles and he was talking about all of the things that you were going to have to face, and he was praying for God to help you as one of the apostles? And he had this to say in verse 12, and while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. So Judas was called the son of perdition. The word perdition means ruin or loss. We don't use that very often. It can mean destruction, the son of destruction. Judas knew the daily and nightly procedures or schedules of Jesus during that last week when he was in Jerusalem. And he used that to betray Jesus, knowing where he would be in the evenings with his apostles. In John chapter 18, verses 1 through 3, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden in which he entered with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. And Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. He betrayed Jesus with a kiss and called him rabbi, which means master or teacher. Matthew 26, verses 48 and 50.
Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him." Immediately Jesus went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said, "Friend, do what you've come for." And they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Another gospel mentions that Jesus asked him, "Judas, do you betray me with a kiss?" Judas was the one to fulfill prophecy. In John chapter 13, Jesus says, 13:18, John 13:18, "I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me.'" And so Judas was one that would fulfill prophecy from the Old Testament in the Psalms. And Peter also said that of him in Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. It says, "At this time Peter stood up in the midst of the brethren, a gathering of about 120 persons were gathered together, and he said, 'Brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit foretold by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus.'" Probably referring to this passage that Jesus quoted. But he goes on to mention another psalm. He says, "For he was counted among us and received his share in this ministry." Verse 20, skipping down, says, "For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his homestead be made desolate, and let no one dwell in it, and let another man take his office.'" And so he uses another psalm and says he's fulfilling that as well. Judas may have even watched the trial of Jesus. We're not sure. But he definitely saw the outcome of the trial. If you look at Matthew chapter 27, the first 10 verses. "Now when the morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. And then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' But they said, 'What is that to us? See to that yourself.' And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, 'It's not lawful for them to be put into the temple treasury, since it's the price of blood.' And they conferred together with the money, and with the money bought the potter's field as a burial place for the strangers, for strangers. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field as the Lord directed me." So another prophecy fulfilled by Judas even after his death with the 30 pieces of silver. When he tried to return the money and it was refused, he told the religious leaders in this passage we just read that he had sinned and betrayed innocent blood, but they cast him aside. He threw the pieces of silver into the sanctuary. He hanged himself. And by doing so, he sealed his final judgment and to not have mercy. Okay, I've given you all the background, all the verses. So let's look at the lessons for righteous living that Judas might give us if he could speak from the dead. If you recall the story in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, there was a rich man and there was the poor man Lazarus. And the rich man had the opportunity to take care of Lazarus because Lazarus was put at his feet, but he failed to do so. And so both the rich man and Lazarus died. And they both went to their places of either torment or blessing. Lazarus in blessing and the rich man in torment. And we find in Luke chapter 16 that he had some requests. He requested of Lazarus that his finger be dipped in water to be touched to his tongue. He requested that Abraham send someone back to his brothers to teach them. Wasn't going to happen. So Judas can't really teach us. He can't come back and teach us. But we can imagine what he might tell us. Just like we saw the rich man in torment. So imagine Judas in torment. And he's got a few words for you. And some of those words might be things like, "Hey, don't waste the opportunities you have been given. I was one of the 12. I was pretty special. I got to do miracles. I got to sit at the feet of Jesus. I cast out demons. I got to hear Jesus teaching. I got to walk with Him. I got to witness a righteous, innocent man living a life pleasing to the Heavenly Father. Don't spoil the riches and blessings and chances that you have been given, the opportunities you've been given. Do not waste them. Do not waste them. Look where I am. He might say also to you, do not love money. Do not love money. Just as was mentioned before the table this morning when we were giving, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, anyone who loves money is pierced through by many sorrows. And he might tell you, do not love money. It pierced me through with many sorrows. Just like the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16 that I mentioned. And remember the rich young ruler in Luke 18 when he went away from Jesus sorrowful because he had great wealth and Jesus had told him to sell it all and give it to the poor. So do not love money. He might also tell you, you need to learn to use money to the glory of God. Instead of stealing from the poor, like it says he did in John chapter 12 and verse 6 that we read, instead of saying, oh, that perfume could have been sold for a lot of money just so he could pilfer some of it. He might have really been concerned for the poor like Jesus was and told them many times to do things for the poor. Mike and I were in an overnight study this weekend and we got to hear about the sanctity of life. And one of the men, a young man, spoke and he talked about the poor versus the rich. And he made me realize that when you are poor, you are tempted many times over what you are if you have lots of money or if you have a moderate income. Jesus said, it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven. It's just like a camel trying to go through the eye of a needle. You can't do it. You got to get rid of those riches. You can't hold on to them. But a poor man is also tempted in many ways because he has so little and he needs so much. And so Jesus was always telling them to support the poor, to sell their goods and give it to the poor. Don't let those riches be burdening you and anchoring you to this life. So I think he would tell you, I wasted my time pilfering money. I didn't really understand the value of money. I should have used it to the glory of God. I should have supported the poor. I should have really loved the poor and helped them. I should have been like Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verses 8 through 10, who said he would have given half of his goods to the poor. Or he would give half of his goods, sell it, and give it to the poor. I should have been like Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. He was talking about an unrighteous man who was the servant of a rich man. And he was a manager, and he squandered his possessions, but he went when he was told to give an account for that. And he went and made deals with different people so that he would have somewhere to go after his job was given up. And Jesus said to them that they needed to take a lesson from that and be wise. He says in verse 9, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of wealth of unrighteousness so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous is also unrighteous in much. And therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you?" Jesus was telling them, his apostles, anybody that would listen, you need to make use of the money because it has no value to you unless you're building relationships and helping others with it. And so you need to use it in that way. And Judas might tell you, be a servant to others if you would be great in the eyes of Jesus. Because while we were discussing who was the greatest in the kingdom, or who would be the greatest in the kingdom among the 12, Jesus washed my feet. And if the Son of God will humble Himself and wash my feet, then you ought to be humble as well. Judas might tell you, when you sin, realize that those who claim to be God's leadership, who claim to be God's people, if you come to them with your sin and they dismiss you, they are not God's people. Judas learned that lesson. When you come before each other and you ask for help for your sin, if you are dismissed, you are among the wrong people. You are with the wrong person. Make sure you are with God's people if you want help. Realize that your relief only comes from one person, and that would be Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, now when the morning came and the chief... Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the one who will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Only Jesus can provide rest for those who are burdened with the burden of sin. And the last lesson I've got here, and I'm sure you can think of others, but Judas might say to you, when you sin, realize you cannot pay the price for it. Even if you take your own life. Acts 2 and verse 38, Paul tells us we need to repent and be baptized if there is to be forgiveness. And he tells us there is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. These are just a few things that Judas might tell you to encourage you to live righteously in this world. Are you prepared to do that? Or do you want to be like Judas and find yourself on the other side of eternity in hell? Make your choice tonight. Decide that you want to follow Jesus, that you're ready to repent of your sins. If you've been living a pretentious life like Judas, and you're ready to change and repent like Judas should have done and come back to the Lord, won't you do that even tonight?